Blackfin Web Design is there to help. Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, How Do We Know the Gospel We Believe is the True Way to God?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior, our rock, the King. Amen. All right, so last week I shared with you that my mom recently departed this world, died, went home to God, and we talked last week about the gospel, as Paul described it, remember, very clearly in Romans chapter 5, and also we looked at Romans chapter 3, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, says Paul, but they are justified as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by His blood to be received by faith. And that's the greatest of all news, that in Adam we all died and were condemned and would not be saved if that was all there was. But then the second Adam, Christ, comes and brings life to everybody, reconciliation, sets everything right, dies and arises for us and gives the free gift, remember, of righteousness that you need for salvation to all who believe in Him, who receive in Him, who call upon His name. And that's the great hope we have in Jesus, that when we die, or our loved ones, but when we die, that our faith is founded on something very solid, strong and sure, Jesus Christ, the rock, and your faith is not in vain, but brings forth the fruit of eternal life and righteousness through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Great news. The best news. There's nothing better. This week I'd like to talk with you, though, about this. How do we know that that's true? I mean, there's a lot of different religions in the world, right? You got Muslims, you got Hindus, you got Buddhists, you got all these different religions out there, and they are all claiming, we have the way to escape death. We have the way to life. How do we know, then, that our way is right and true, and their way is wrong? In other words, if you have faith in the wrong thing, it's faith in sinking sand. Now, I'm not going to spill it like last week. Okay, that was like 10 minutes to clean up all my water. But in this case, I have sand. I'm not going to sprinkle it, but shifting sands. How do you know our faith is not shifting sands, sinking sands, quicksands that are going to lead you down to death, darkness, and damnation if you have the wrong faith? How do we know that our faith in Jesus Christ that I've preached to you is a solid rock upon which we can stand for sure, a mighty mountain of truth that you indeed believing on Jesus Christ will be saved unto eternal life through the Savior? How do we know it's a rock, what we believe and preaching, and not shifting sand? How do we know it's not just wishful thinking, a hopeful, vain hope, a cleverly devised myth? How do we know that Jesus Christ is the truth? Well, what I'd like to do with you today for the confirmation of our faith is what we read in the gospel a moment ago. Jesus says, I've told you this before it takes place, so that, with the purpose that, when it does take place, you may believe. All the other religions of the world, let's give them a chance, okay? All the other religions. How many prophecies do they have for us that their man, whoever they're putting forward, Muhammad, Krishna, Buddha, or whatever, how many prophecies do we have in their religions that their man is the man to follow that were told beforehand that came to pass when their man came? Answer?
Zero.
Zero. Nothing. Thank you very much. That's the end of the first part of the sermon. Thanks. Let's take a look for the rest of the sermon at Jesus Christ. How do we know that we are believing the rock solid truth and we're standing on a rock and not sinking sand in Jesus Christ. Well, God told us ahead of time everything we needed to know about identifying the right Savior when he came. So let's go through this, and this is actually what Paul did, right? Almost all of every Saturday, he would go to the synagogues, he'd argue with the Jews and prove to them from the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, the predictions, that Jesus was the Christ, and that's the rock solid truth. So let's take a look today for your confirmation and mine, so that when we're going to die one day, we all have to do that, that you know you're standing on a rock and not just sinking sand. Let's take a look at the prophecies. We're going to go run through them. I got 12 of them, so you know how long the sermon's going to last, right? Number one, we have the promise. At the very beginning, God says, I'm going to send you a Savior. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? The very first thing that God said to the devil, actually, after Adam and Eve sinned, to the devil, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, the woman's seed, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy we have of a Savior to come in the Scriptures. So what do we hear? A Savior is coming, Genesis chapter 3, and who is he going to be? The seed of the woman, which means it's going to be a man. Okay, so we're looking for a man. That's pretty general, but it's a good start because we know we're not expecting an angel to come and save us. We're not expecting a philosophy, that is, and also not the invisible God in his invisibility. We're looking for a flesh and blood man, just like by a man, Adam came death, by a man, Christ is going to come the resurrection and the life. So we're looking for a man. Amen? Say amen. Amen. We're already 1/12 through the sermon. Isn't that cool? What's the second thing we're to look for? God tells us in Scripture to prove to us Jesus is the rock is his lineage. We're told about his lineage way back when, actually in the days when Jacob was giving blessings to his 12 sons. And then when he got to Judah, he says the prophecy for Judah, the scepter. What's that mean? The king, right? The scepter, the royal scepter, shall not depart from Judah nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes to whom it belongs, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. That's prophesying the Christ. Who is he to come from? From the line, lineage of, what did it say?
Judah.
Judah. Excellent. Who was born of the line of Judah? What king do you know was born in the line of Judah?
David.
What did God say to David? He said to David, David, when your days are fulfilled, to go to be with your fathers, I'll raise up your offspring after you. This is 1 Chronicles 17. One of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. So who are we looking for? A son of David in his line. He shall build a house for me. I'll establish his throne forever. I'll be his father. He shall be my son, says God. And I'll not take my steadfast love from him. I'll confirm him in my house and my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. So, pretty good. We're looking for a man, flesh and blood. We're looking for a descendant of Judah, and we're looking for a descendant of David. You guys are so good. You already know the sermon. But this is what Paul would have preached in a synagogue most of his life. This is what he was preaching. So we're preaching or hearing a Paul's sermon here and all the apostles. What's the next thing we can look for according to God's word? To confirm you got a rock and not sinking sand. As for his birth, what do we know about his birth? We're doing all Hebrew scriptures today, Old Testament, right? I told you before it takes place so that when it does take place, you may believe and be sure you're on a rock. What do we know about Jesus' birth? Well, what kind of birth is it? God said in the days to King Ahaz, ask a sign of me. Ahab's like, I'm not going to ask a sign of you. God says, I'll give you a sign. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay, so what do we got here? What kind of a birth is this again? Virgin, which obviously means also supernatural birth, because you don't have virgins giving birth every day, do you? Nope. Virgin birth, supernatural. What do we learn about Jesus Christ? Huh? What do we learn about Jesus Christ? I think this is Matthew. Is it Matthew 1? I think it's Matthew 1. Yeah, it's Matthew 1. We read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, i.e. she's a virgin, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit." And then God spoke to him and said, "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son. She'll call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Wow, so we learn we're to look for someone, a virgin, bearing a man, flesh and blood, of the line of Judah, of the line of David, without the help of a man, supernaturally, and what is his name? Emmanuel, God with us. So we're looking for God to take on the flesh of man. God, assuming manhood into himself, taking on flesh to be our Savior and correct our problem of death and give us eternal life in his kingdom through the Messiah. That's a rock solid faith then. Amen? Are we doing pretty well?
Amen.
This isn't sinking sand. When you believe in Christ, the end result of that is the salvation of your souls and eternal life. Okay, let's look on. When was the Christ to be born? That's the next one. Let's throw it up here. When was he going to come? I think I've written too largely on this side, but we'll go with it. I'm going to look to Daniel for this one. Remember the prophecy of Daniel? Who knows that book? Remember King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had a dream. I have a dream. It's not Martin Luther King Jr. I have a dream. This is a different dream. He saw a head of gold. Then the arms and breast were of silver. The thighs and legs were of bronze. The feet were of iron and clay. That's the dream King Nebuchadnezzar had. Who can interpret the dream? And I'll slay everybody if you can't do it. Well, Daniel stands up and says, I can interpret the dream. Daniel chapter 2, he says, the head of gold is you, the kingdom of Babylon. The next one is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, which are going to come after you. The next kingdom after that, the third kingdom, will be the kingdom of Greece. And in the days of the fourth kingdom, the ones of the legs of bronze and of iron and clay, in the days of that kingdom, God's going to set up a kingdom. Let me read that for you. In the days of those kings, verse 44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall not be destroyed, nor its sovereignty be left to another people. So, what's the fourth kingdom? What came after? During the days of the Roman Empire. That's when you'd expect the man, Empire. That's when you'd expect the man of flesh and blood, in the line of Judah, of the line of David, virgin, supernatural, God himself in the flesh, is going to be born in those days. What do we read of Jesus? Luke chapter 2, in those days a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. So Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem and they have a child and they laid him in the manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In what days? Roman Empire. When you die one day, is your faith sinking sand or is it a solid rock? Guys, you're standing on a rock. God told you beforehand so that when it does take place, you may believe and know you got the right man as Savior. Next one. Where was he to be born? I know you guys know this stuff, but we're going to the Old Testament today. What would Paul have said to the Jews in the synagogues? Micah 5:2. "But you, O Bethlehem, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days of eternity." Where do we expect this man, born of Judah, David, virgin, supernatural God in the Roman Empire, to be born? Bethlehem. That's where you expect him to be found. So what do we read in the New Testament? We read that when the Magi came from the east, they said to Herod, "Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we've seen a star in the east, and we've come to worship him." Herod's like, I don't know. He asked the wise men. They go to the Bible. What do they say? The Christ is to be born in Bethlehem, because so says the prophet Micah. Christ was born in Bethlehem. Friends, you have the right guy when you're believing in Jesus Christ. Next one. Okay. Where was the Christ to do his ministry? Where was he to minister during his lifetime? I mean, Tibet, Bangkok, Las Vegas? Let's take a look at where the Christ was prophesied and foretold beforehand to minister. It says, in the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, but in the latter time, he'll make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, who knows it?
The Galilee.
Galilee of the nations. For the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of a deep, deep darkness, on them has light shined, and God has increased its joy. So where are we to expect the Christ, the Savior, to come and minister? In Galilee. It's pretty specific, amen? Well, what do we read about Jesus? As he's starting his ministry, he's walking along by the Sea of Galilee. Two fishermen, you and you, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men, Peter and Andrew, James and John as well. So we're finding that we have the right man. This is what Paul would have preached in the synagogues to the Jews to convince them that Jesus was the Christ. What was the Christ to do next? We're in 7 of 12. Well, you want to open up the Bible again here? Let's look at Isaiah 35. Check this one out. We read that your God will come and save you. Verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame man will leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing for joy, etc. So what are we to expect from the Christ? Miracles. You guys are so good. You're following. You're tracking. We expect miracles. What do we see of Jesus Christ when he came? He did stuff that nobody else could ever do. John the Baptist, when he first saw Jesus, he's like, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A little time later, he's thrown into prison. Things not going so well. He sends some messengers and he says, "Are you he who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" What did Jesus say? He quotes Isaiah 35 and he says, "Go tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me." Do you have the right man? Are you standing on the right rock when you have Jesus Christ as your hope for heaven? Friends, God told you beforehand that when it does take place, you may believe. All right, next one. What was Christ to preach? Shall we look at Isaiah again? All right, you with me? Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Who did that, do you think? You ever read Luke chapter 4? Jesus goes to his own town, Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue. They hand him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opens the scroll. He reads what I just read to you. And he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And he went and preached liberty. "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Come to me and be set free from your sins." He came and did it. And Jesus said, "That was talking about me. I've told you beforehand, so that when it does take place, you may believe." He came and preached liberty to the captives. In other words, salvation. Then how, next, was the Christ to save us? I have a slightly larger space here, but let me just read you a few of these. How is Christ to save us? Well, we first read that Psalm 41, he'd be betrayed by a bosom friend who ate his bread with him. Who is that? Okay, so he's going to be betrayed, number one, by Judas. How much did Judas pay? Or was he paid to betray Jesus? Close. How many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. Yeah, you got it. You're right there. Just a little inflation. That's okay. But check it out. Zechariah 11. This is Old Testament, guys. This is way before Christ came. And they weighed out my wages, 30 pieces of silver. The Lord said, cast it into the house of the potter, the lordly price at which I was paid off by them. What happened to Judas's 30 pieces of silver again? They didn't put it into the treasury. They bought the potter's field. That's exactly what Zechariah is talking about. What did Christ do? Let's hope I didn't just lose that spot. Here we are, Isaiah 53. Okay, let's spend just a moment in this one. Can you imagine going to a Jewish synagogue and getting up and reading this to them? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. What's that mean? He'll be struck. The Christ will be struck. People will think it was God. But it says, they'll think he's being struck for his own sins, but it says here, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Say that, our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Say, our iniquities. He was struck for our sins, in other words. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. With his stripes we're healed. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid upon him the sins of us all. So he would be struck for our sins. Is he going to die? Well, read on. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he'd done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away and he opened on his mouth. So he's silent. He's going to go to an unjust trial. They're going to unjustly condemn him, but that will be God working. He'll be crucified between two criminals. They made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, Joseph of Arimathea. He'll be laid in that tomb. So he'll be killed. I could write all these others up here. It'd take too much time. But he'd be killed. Oh no, the Savior is dead. Well, what else do we read in this? Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. It's God's will. Destined before the foundation of the world. This is what the Christ was going to do. He'd die for the sins of mankind, our sins. But when he makes himself an offering for sin and is as a sacrifice, he shall see his offspring and prolong his days. What's that mean? The dead guy is alive again. The next verse. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. God will give all things unto him. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. And what would the Christ do when he makes himself an offering for sin? It says, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Which means all your sins were laid upon him on the cross as a sacrifice. He rises again, and he makes you to be justified with the free gift I preached all last week, the free gift of righteousness bestowed upon all of you. Salvation freely given, received by faith in Jesus the Savior. You're going to die one day. Your loved ones are going to die one day. Your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your spouse, your children. What are you standing on that day? Are you standing on sinking sand, wishful thinking, I wish upon a star like Disney says? Uh-uh. You're standing on rock solid truth, guys. This is foretold ahead of time so that when it does take place, you may know and believe you have the rock. And the truth that you're standing upon is Jesus Christ. He'll rise again. You see that in Isaiah 53. And then we'll see also that he will ascend to heaven. I'll give you a number of scriptures for that one. But my suffering servant shall be exalted. He shall be very high. He shall be lifted up. God says in Isaiah 52 verse 13. And then it says also in Psalm 68. That is to ascend the mount, leading captives in thy train and giving gifts to men. So all of these things fulfilled. Here's one that wasn't fulfilled just yet, but it's promised to be soon. What's that? Can you read that far? Coming again. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, the Old Testament says. His arm rules for him and his recompense is with him to reward every man for what he has done. And we'll conclude, well, this part of the sermon with this one. Isaiah 65 says, God prophesies and foretells. He says, behold, I create new heavens and an earth, new earth. The former things won't be remembered. They won't come to mind. Be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. In other words, an everlasting kingdom shall be established by this one, reversing everything Adam did and giving you a new world, a new life, full of glory, joy, and that everlasting. So we're obviously at the end of the sermon, amen?
Amen.
But let's rejoice in this. This is what Paul would have preached. This is what I preach. I've told you these things, Jesus says, before they take place, so that when they do take place, you may believe that you're not standing on sinking sand. Your faith is based on the rock solid truth of God. And standing upon the rock, Jesus Christ, you are promised eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In that we rejoice, and in that we give praise to God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, How Do We Know the Gospel We Believe is the True Way to God? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, just south and across from the City Hall building. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. God bless you.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
The story of Jonah being swallowed by a fish and surviving has led to heated debate through the centuries. But the point isn't how it happened, but why? Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah answers that question as he shares more from his series, Jonah, the Runaway Prophet.